subscribe to the Good Show podcast with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Jonathan Drouin potted 2 goals, the Canadiens 5, the Maple Leafs 2, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. It's time for Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Nick Alberga, joined alongside Gord Stellick at the Gold Money, at Gord Stellick, where you can follow along via Twitter. Just, again, one of those nights, Gord, when you look at this Maple Leafs team, we talked about the old theme of back-to-backs. Just too many negatives to pull from this hockey game today.
Yes, I don't know if you've made the trek, but I've gone once a year, most years, for a trip to Montreal with a gang going down on Via Rail, and that I'm glad it wasn't tonight. I'm glad, you know, the game is all sometimes quite secondary, but it's a lot more fun when it's a close game, a lot more enjoyable when the Leafs win. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of disappointed Leaf fans there tonight in the Bell Center. And, you know, a lot of things to go about. And, you know, backtracking a bit, we'll talk about that third period where the Leafs were tied 2-2, and basically that's where it all fell apart. We can talk glowingly or positively about the Leafs coming back to tie it, but I'm sorry. Like, I can be a dinosaur at times, maybe. Did they just start playing back-to-back games this year? Like, is this a phenomenon of just hitting 2019?
You're right.
Like, man, I don't, like, I'm going to stop making a big fuss about it. I'd like to, but they seem to make a big fuss about it within the hockey team. Seem to. Anyway, like, just why don't you concede them then? Like, I just don't show up. Well, I just don't understand always about, can you believe this? Can you believe this? We have a back-to-back game and the other team doesn't have a back-to-back game. That is so unfair. And I'm just, like, I'm mystified because it's understood. You're going to be a little bit more tired. I understand that. And I'm sure the team that's rested has a better record than 50%. I don't know what it's been historically. But, man, oh, man, psychologically, all the built-in excuses are there before the puck's even dropped.
You're right. Like, this year more than others, the excuses are piling up. In my world, not good enough. Unacceptable. The way this Maple Leafs team came out, back-to-back or not, that was a dreadful start. And that has been a theme for this hockey club so far this season, Gord. 10 of 13 games now, they surrendered the first goal. Montreal was ready. We talked about it on Friday night, how this team would be ready coming off that 4-2 loss to San Jose on Thursday. They were primed, and the Maple Leafs, it's sort of amazing and astonishing because Mike Babcock's quote is start on time, yet this team never seems to start on time, do they?
No, they don't. They don't. It's or finish on time, yeah, in some cases. But it's, you know, because in the big picture, Nick, I'm cool with the season. Okay, I think the season, the greatest regular season in a while was the Tampa Bay Lightning last year. And what do they think at the end of the day? Exactly. Yeah. So have some trials and tribulations and ups and downs. So don't get me wrong. I'm not about the whole world's falling down. But to go back to your point again about the back-to-backs and, you know, having worked with a team before for about a decade when it was quite different about travel and other things, and quite often you'd even have a morning skate when you had a back-to-back, you think how ridiculous that is. But now the whole element about nutrition and sports science and the understanding about rest and how in shape these guys are, like, man, it's just a different animal. So you come out tonight and start or don't start the way, you know, the way after a nice game last night against the San Jose Sharks. I don't know. It just seems this second game of back-to-backs. Are they yawning in the hallway before they come out? I mean, is it in their head? Because they started like they were tired rather than so much finishing like you're tired.
It really is a poor excuse. So 5-2 final at the Bell Center in favor of the Montreal Canadiens, who are now 2-0 against the Maple Leafs this season. The Maple Leafs lost in the shootout, that crazy game in game 3 of this season. But the most concerning part, and I understand, Gord, we're, 13 games into this season. There's a lot of milk carton nights for guys who are getting paid lots of money. And I joke to you watching this game, Mitch Marner's playing because I couldn't see him out there. It was these guys, they're top guys. Auston Matthews was sort of pedestrian in this game. If you're paying these guys that type of money, they've signed up to say, you know what, we're going to grab this team by the reins sometimes. And they haven't been spectacular by any rate so far.
And again, to talk about, to be consistent about the big picture theme. So if three of them finish in the top 10 in regular season scoring and they get eliminated in the first round, the season's not a success. So the proof will be, can they be like the big line with the Boston Bruins and have some playoff success down the road? So, you know, so just putting that as a bit of caveat, because Mitch Marner finished in the top 10 of scoring last year. But John Tavares isn't there. He and Marner really, you know, maybe only one game so far when they've played together, they've sort of been on fire like they seemed to be from puck drop last year. I mean, they were the way more consistent pairing. And you're right. And it's, you know, Brian Burke talked about it, that you start making a lot of money. People reference the money, the expectations, the novelty fun about being the new kids on the block. And isn't it great? They don't take up much salary cap room. That's all gone. And maybe they're not quite, you know, ready to be where Patrick Kane is or guys Sidney Crosby was and guys like that. But you have those expectations. And are you thinking a little bit more? Or what? I don't know. I just find you're not as visible. Where that part about the work ethic or being a little bit more visible is the part that you should have regardless if you're getting points or not.
That is Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga here on Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Again, the Leafs falling 5-2 in Montreal. Another loss they're piling up right now for the Maple Leafs. But I think we both make great points in bringing up that, and I understand the market we do live in and speak in on a daily basis. The sky's not falling, folks. There's 82 games in a season for a reason. We're not even out the first month in October. We're going to get to November next week. I think I'm with you, and just I want to see progression with this team month to month. By any stretch, they're not out of anything at all in the Atlantic Division at this point in time. I know Buffalo wins on a nightly basis. Tampa's treading water so far. Like, a lot of teams are struggling. A lot of teams we think are good teams are struggling. But the thing we're failing to see early on, and I think what's irking a lot of people, is the progression and the big guys stepping up and just the little things on the ice that are I still can't get over the eventual game-winning goal. 7 seconds in, off the draw, you're killing a penalty. It was a massive lapse, you would have to think, by Jake Muzzin and company. How Joel Armia springs loose for breakaways beyond me on that one.
Yeah, so to take it after 40 minutes, because the Leafs from a 2-0 deficit do all of a sudden play well and make it 2-2. So it was interesting, started the third period, and Jake Muzzin scored again, so got a big goal, much like last night. He got that big goal in the waning second. Hockey Night in Canada was doing a fun feature show. He got the basketball as player of the game, and he was having some fun with it. And they did all this stuff, and you drop the puck, and boom. And, you know, he broke. I don't know whether he successfully broke it or not, but he was trying to break it over his helmet, his stick. Like, he understood. I mean, man, this is a novice house league play, the way it happened. Just getting sucked in on the draw to go for the puck, and then getting completely undressed. And that was it. I mean, the game was really over then, because you put the Montreal crowd back in, you jacked them, and the Montreal Canadiens continued the pressure. And Jake Muzzin's about the last guy on the team we would ever criticize.
Yeah.
But it just was one of those, like, the Canadiens had the Brendan Gallagher goal after 6 seconds. Was it last week or two Saturdays ago? Whenever it was, against St. Louis. It just was a miss by Jake Allen and goal. Like, it was just a terrible goal by the goaltender. So you said, okay, that understands. Otherwise, 7 seconds. Wow. It's like everything had to go perfect, and it did for the Montreal Canadiens at the expense of Jake Muzzin.
It really is unfortunate, too, because as you mentioned, the Leafs were just dominated in the first period. They scored that late goal late in the first period to make it 2-1 after 20. They battle in the second period, score the tying goal. They had a lot of plenty of chances. Carey Price for a reason, made a couple notable stops in this hockey game, but just to come out that way, to take that penalty late in the second period, and for, I don't know, again, it's unbelievable to me that you both pinch in the back end in a face-off to kick off a period when I'm sure in the locker room, what are they talking about? The PK. You're down a man for what, a minute, was it?
Yeah.
To start the third period and to jump. It's just little mistakes they're making that you learn in like peewee hockey, which is discouraging.
Well, and the timing of it as well, because you're right. They, you know, the Kerfoot penalty. Okay, it's a penalty, but as well as those chintzy boarding things, and Max Domi does a little bit to not help himself, and Kerfoot knows. He goes, man, I'm going to get a penalty, but it's kind of chintzy that way. So he basically does the first minute. They kill it off real well. So you're saying, okay, good from the Leaf point of view. You got a minute left. Faceoff will be in neutral zone. Let's kill the penalty and let's get back to the game. And Tyson Barry was on that goal as well. And then he's the guy that gets caught at Muzzin as well on the Jonathan Drouin goal. And it's just the kind of thing, not being able to handle the puck at the blue line, which that part happens. But then after that, you got to prevent the catastrophic clear-cut breakaway by Drouin coming down that way. And again, you can't, like, I can't pick apart Michael Hutchison again. In that.
No, we can't.
So you really can't. I'm just saying, but you'd love to have that save on one of those two breakaways. But you can't really expect
that. You put a lot of pressure on him, though, right? Yeah. Like, I really, again, and we'll talk about Michael Hutchison a lot throughout this broadcast and throughout this season as he continues to remain the backup to Frederik Andersen. But he centers 5-on-38 in this game. I can't pin this on the backup goaltender, considering a lot of reasons. A, it's another back-to-back. This guy hasn't had a legitimate start so far this season with rest, and ample opportunity to have a team with rest. And B, they hung him out to dry. And this is not just for Hutchinson. It's been a thing and a theme with Frederik Andersen as well. Defensively speaking, Gord, this team is lost right now.
Lost is a pretty strong word. It's not inaccurate at times. You're right. And again, okay, let's go win one for Mike. 19-5, you get outshot in the first period.
I know.
And again, if you're tired, it's the third period, okay? Back to backs, okay? If you're going to use that, if you're going to play that card that I'm exhausted, you know, maybe get some boost or something that, you know.
Montreal's got a great nightlife, then, though. I get it.
Well, no, trust me, that's the last thing they would have been involved in on a back to back game like that. But it just if you're staying over, you could have enjoyed that tonight, which they wouldn't be anyway. And so they get outshot 19-5, and then I think good on them. They tie it for Michael Hutchison. Like, help this guy win a game. Like, you know, he knows he's 0-4. He knows it doesn't look real good that he's 0-4. You know, like it, and you go out and let him hang him out to dry that way, and then you came back. And like I said, the faux pas by Muzzin on that game winning goal, again, that's just one of those things. I mean, things that should happen very seldom, but it wasn't like personal against Michael Hutchison. I thought they'd done a good job coming back and rewarding the fact he'd played half decent.
So again, a 5-2 win in favor of Montreal in this game on home ice against the rival Toronto Maple Leafs, losing again. I don't know. Losing to Boston really hurts, and losing to the Montreal Canadiens whenever it is hurts a lot as a Leafs fan in general. But again, there's a lot of things to clean up with this Maple Leafs team. You talk about excuses, whatever word you want to use, people seem to look up to, hey, you know, Dermott's out, Hyman's out, John Tavares is out. I get it, Gord, but every team deals with injuries. Those are not excuses in my world. Like, there's no other way around this fact that Toronto's not playing how they should be playing. And, you know, scrutiny is a part of the game, and they're going to have to rally it up in that locker room and find a way to get out of this funk in a hurry here.
Boy, it's funny with the injury. Zach Hyman, maybe you could argue about him being a Smythe Trophy candidate because he plays excellent two-way hockey, but now you think he's a Hart Trophy candidate, and you think Travis Dermott is a Norris Trophy candidate, his top defenseman, because they seem to miss them so much. And Tavares, yeah, I mean, that one hurts the last little while, but Pittsburgh Penguins are a great example about
a lot of injuries,
and they've been hanging in there, the guys they called up, and, you know, Sidney Crosby, by and large, has really brought his game up. And, you know, the big guns to keep going over for the Maple Leafs have none of them, the big four, and Tavares is out now, but have done it on a consistent basis, but including John Tavares before then. But, you know, if you're going to get in that poker game called the playoffs, which we assume they're going to get in, and I still assume they're going to get in.
You would hope.
If they get in a wild card spot, I would be very surprised, but I wouldn't care. Whatever you're in, just get in.
Well, look at last year's playoffs, right? Look what happened. Didn't matter where you were seated.
Don't plan to get in a wild card spot because that could go really awry the last week of the season. But I just mean, like, as long as you're in, that's fine. And let's see how you handle that next stage against whomever. I mean, you've had as tough an opponent you can have in the first round, even the Washington Capitals that one year. And you know what? There really are no gimmies anyway. You know, Carolina and the New York Islanders didn't prove to be gimmies last year. Columbus, who were the newbies in the playoffs. So whatever, wherever it falls, as long as you get in, then you've got to have the games that we can scrutinize, and the fans scrutinize, and management and the players scrutinize themselves much, much more.
Yeah, and don't get us wrong. Being critical is certainly part of our job. And again, getting back to the conversation about the big guys, I think it is such a good point, as you brought up, the Pittsburgh Penguins and that model and other winning organizations over the last several years where guys seem to step up when it matters. I know Sidney Crosby's on his own island, but certainly I think when you're paying guys like Austin Matthews over 11, Mitch Marner just under $11 million, these guys have to own the game. And you know, there's been spurts and moments, but you know, in comparison to years past, we just have not seen it enough from guys who we think and label some of the best players on this planet. That's what gets me going, is that these guys in the past have shown how good they are. Granted, again, we're very early in this season. At some point in time, they're going to find their groove. Austin Matthews is still scoring at an elite level. Mitch Marner's had his moments. But I think you look at some of the great players in this world, you know, the Patrick Kanes who have won cups, the Sidney Crosbys, the list go on and on. Those guys seem to bring it on a nightly basis, and I think that's really what is missing from the game. Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. William Nylander has moments where he looks like the best player on the ice, and sometimes you don't notice him. He's on a milk carton. So I think consistency is a big word to take from this one.
And I think, you know, so much you look at it, even if you didn't follow the Toronto Raptors intently, although everybody would have in the final and most of the playoffs, is Leaf fans are assuming that a Raptor-type season like last year is what you could expect. Like, all in all, pretty decent season. All in all, pretty smooth sailing. But right now, they haven't had that stretch of winning 7 out of 8 or something. They will at some point. But, I mean, I think that's kind of our expectation that way. And the Raptors, then, the next level, the ticking time bomb was Kawhi Leonard. It just had 1 year there, and that kind of was a ticking time bomb. With the Leafs, with the contracts done, even though the money part is something they're getting a handle on, and all the other parts, but focusing back on the ice or whatever you may attribute it to, you've really got 5 years. You know, you got 5 years with Nylander, you got 5 years with Austin Matthews, you've got 6 years with John Tavares, you got 6 years with Mitch Marner. So there is no ticking time bomb of somebody leaving this season. So you know you got a bit more time, but still, it doesn't mean you defer it for a few years. Like make hay when you can. Do it this year if the stars align, and hey, you got as good a chance as anybody.
Bottom line, just breathe. A 5-2 loss in Montreal for the Leafs, now 6-5-2 on the season. Their next game on Tuesday night at Scotiabank Arena at home to the Washington Capitals. Still more to come here on the program. Luke Fox from the Bell Center, from Sportsnet.ca. We'll hear from Mike Babcock and some of the players after this 5-2 loss for the Maple Leafs against the Montreal Canadiens. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to the Leafs Hour podcast with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Can't pin this one on the back of Leafs fall 5-2 in Montreal. They fall to 6-5-2 overall on the season. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you at the Golden Muzzy at Gord Stellick, where you can follow along via Twitter. And simply put, Gord, as we forecasted coming into this game, a rather agitated Montreal Canadiens team, and that really set the tone for this one, just dominating Toronto in the first period.
Yeah, and we saw their agitation when the Leafs blew a 3-goal lead the visit in Toronto. And let's, you know, keep in mind, as we talk, and we'll hear from Mike Babcock and many of the Leaf players, last year, now I know game number 82 really didn't matter, so Montreal won that game against Toronto, but you know what the difference was in points at the end of the season? Four points. The Toronto Maple Leafs finished 4 points ahead of the Montreal Canadiens. Okay, so Montreal came in the last week of the season battling with Columbus and Carolina for a playoff spot. So they were not a team like the Ottawa Senators doing the rebuild. And I know you gave a nice tweet about Joel Armia. 6 goals he scored this year. Like, this is a guy nobody knows about, okay, that is slowly evolving that way. And I thought, Nick, one of the real neat moments, organic, Jonathan Drouin, couple of Saturdays ago, doing a post-game on-ice interview in French, and everyone stayed there. It's like they were staying for the Carolina Surge, all the fans. And he starts talking, and then halfway through, a standing ovation starts. Like, basically, they're saying, hey, buddy, we understand it, okay? There's a lot of pressure here. We do expect more. You're not living up to what we thought so far. But we got your back. We love you. You're loved. And it worked. You know what I mean? It just kind of worked. If I'm Jonathan Drouin, it's like having a boss that you're worried about, and all of a sudden, bang, he or she comes in and says, hey, you're my guy. It's all solid. And he gets 2 goals tonight, and you're starting to see what Marc Bergevin thought he was getting in that trade with Tampa Bay, which is, so far, you know, he's been good at times, ordinary at times, didn't play well down the stretch last year. But it seems this year he's got a whole different level of commitment.
Yeah, certainly one of those markets very similar to Toronto, where if you're rolling and doing well, they're going to praise you like a god and a deity. If you're not, I mean, they're going to boo the hell out of you. You're going to be written about negatively in the papers. And for Jonathan Drouin, I think you're right in that assessment. There have been moments in his Montreal Canadiens career where they've loved him, and at times he's been firmly in the doghouse of Claude Julien. Another guy you always seem to notice when Montreal plays Toronto is Brendan Gallagher. I like the bite he plays with, and honestly, if I were to, you know, pick apart this Maple Leafs team, that's sort of one of the things they're lacking. We know it. The bite is not there. Mike Babcock had the comments earlier today as well regarding Austin Matthews and that hit, essentially saying, well, who was going to answer to that anyways? But that is a bit of a concern to me. I won't be, you know, I won't lie going forward. They don't have the cap constraints to make anything happen via trade. The playoffs is a whole different ball game. But I think if you were to pick apart some of the pros from this Montreal Canadiens team, is they have a bit of bite, especially that guy who wears the C on the captaincy jersey.
Yeah, and certainly, again, the whole thing about retribution. I think yeah. Matt Dumba really showed a lesson last year about, you know, answering the bell, so to speak, against Calgary for the Minnesota Wild. But it wasn't worth it. And the money you make nowadays, it's something you have to be careful about. But Brendan Gallagher, and even Nick, when one of P.K. Subban's visits, I don't think it was his first visit back, but just one of them, and you got guys that will say he was so disruptive, he's so whatever, and you got other guys that'll back him to the hilt. And as I say, the dressing room is real, and I think there's always three sides to every story. But the fact that Brendan a little bit kind of said, oh, well, if that's what PK says, you know, like you know, kind of chirping back a bit after the fact that just, okay, I probably PK was a good teammate. I respect what he did. But, yeah, that kind of crap about whatever, he kind of threw it back a little bit. And,
it's good.
Yeah, it is. It is. I think he is the conscience of the dressing room, and he actually understands the true sentiment of the dressing room.
You know, very similar to Morgan Riley, we say he's the heartbeat of this Maple Leafs team. I think in you know, a lot of respects, Brendan Gallagher offers the same thing, too. And, you know, again, taking nothing away from Michael Hutchinson, as I mentioned off the top of this segment, 5-on-38 in this game, he was not the issue. But there's a big, considerable drop-off between Carey Price and Michael Hutchinson. Carey Price was as advertised in this game, I felt.
Yeah, you've got arguably the best goaltender in the world and another guy trying to prove that he's the backup goaltender in the NHL. So you got a big, big difference that way. You know, Chris Johnston said it with us on one of his regular visits, that term about Morgan Riley being the heart. And
yeah.
It's a simple statement, but it really resonated with me. And because he was almost like worried. He was like a big brother just saying, you know, the Leafs, and this was last week, they're hard on themselves and just a lot of things. And he used Morgan Riley as an example about, you know, something's off there. And you and I talked about, well, that's probably one reason Mike Babcock went light on them after the loss against the Boston Bruins. I'm glad they had the game last night against the San Jose Sharks. I mean, there was a bit, there's no such thing as statement games, but there just was, that was a nice win. They needed a win right now. They should have a few more wins being what they are. They don't. But yeah, they got to stay around a playoff spot, in a playoff spot, and have those kind of games like they had last night. And then there'll be these games again. Don't start on time. Don't finish on time. A couple of gaffes like they did tonight against Montreal.
Yeah, I think you just, quite honestly, throw this one away. The Maple Leafs lose 5-2 to the Montreal Canadiens, now 6-5-2 on the campaign. So after a four-game week here, gorgeous, two games upcoming, a light week for the Maple Leafs. That has to benefit this team, right? Just to get away from the rink for a bit?
Yeah, no more back-to-backs. Yeah, we don't have to talk about it.
I want your stat. What is it, 29% chance?
No, that was Babcock's stat.
Okay.
Mike Babcock's stat.
Let's source the right person, Mike Babcock.
He said it was 29% when you're the tired team against the rested team, he said. And he also felt it was tougher earlier in the season, which I find strange. I would think it would be, but whatever. He's been through it a lot more than I have. But to your point, 11 games in 21 nights to start this season. And then they'll have a quieter week. They're going to go through a stretch of 10 games in 14 nights, or 10 of 14 games will be on the road. They were the third best road team in the NHL last season, and they seem once again to be as good on the road as at home. But the other thing about the lack of off days, keep in mind, I forget how many years it's been. Is it five now? They've had the five-day break? Six? You know, that's
the bye week.
Well,
basically
the bye week, but whatever it is, 5 days. The All-Star weekend has kind of added a day or two, so it's almost
a week.
It's almost like 5 days
Toronto's
off.
Is 8 days this year.
Okay, so basically, say you got a five-day All-Star break, and you got the five-day break. That's 10 off days, okay? Those are 10 days that would be off days that before you had in the schedule, you know, because the All-Star game, you'd miss 3 days. So say add seven more, whatever it may be. So that's a reality. Okay. So that's a reality. And they talk about squeezing the games together, and it happens for all 31 NHL teams.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just going to say right there. It's not like Toronto's the only team dealing with these back-to-backs and that schedule. It's just an excuse. It's deflecting off, you know, the prime concern, this Maple Leafs team is not playing up to snuff right now. Still to come here on Leafs Nation, post-game Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca. We'll hear from the head coach, Mike Babcock, and some of the players in that locker room. A disappointing, I would say, 5-2 loss. More so the way this team came out in Montreal. It's hockey night in Canada, and you get destroyed in the first period. Shots 19-5. We talked about the momentum builder, the late goal there. Another Jake Muzzin goal late in the period to get the team going. Second period, Toronto was all over the Montreal Canadiens. Carey Price, a big reason why this game was tied. And then you take the late penalty in the second period. And 7 seconds into the third period, somehow off the faceoff at center ice, Joel Armia, one of the hottest players, if you can believe it, in this league right now, gets a breakaway and makes no mistake. It's little gaffes right now that is really, really costing this hockey club, Gordon.
Yeah, and just in trying to tie it up, as mentioned, Tyson Barry just can't control the puck, and Jonathan Drouin gets a breakaway and 4-2, and that really was the end of it in the third period. We watched it on Hockey Night in Canada because we're just doing post-game tonight, so a little different when we are doing the game like we did last night down at Scotiabank Arena against the San Jose Sharks. But, boy, they do a great job on Sportsnet's Hockey Night in Canada. Like, I mean,
yeah.
Maybe the players should watch that. Maybe instead of going out for a pregame warm-up, cut out the Elliot Friedman parts. But after that, you know, just watch all the – I'm kidding about Freaks. But, I mean, you know, honestly, they did such a great job setting up, you know, the game tonight, that as a fan, and you know, the players do realize that that's what makes it almost more disappointing, that you're saying, because last year John Tavares got that great overtime goal. That, like, that really was the start of the rest of the season, that they kind of went on a bit of a tear, and you knew they were going to be fine, and that, and it was a big win in Montreal and a big goal by John Tavares, and you thought that was going to happen. You know, you hoped that kind of game or that kind of effort was going to be there tonight, but it wasn't.
Working with you has made me a positive individual for once in my life.
Taking time.
I'm going to say this slow start for the Maple Leafs could be a positive going forward. I want a good end to the season, right? And
yeah.
I think, again, we're totally right. Like, we understand the pulse of Leafs Nation. It's a little testy. This past week's been hilarious to me. The sky is falling. We're not even 15 games into this season. Granted, they're not playing well right now. There's a lot of injuries, but you've got to stay the course. We know these guys are excellent hockey players. They've done it before, and there's a lot of racetrack left in this campaign.
Now, the only thing on the other side is,
yes,
the Stanley Cup champions were the St. Louis Blues. And if, and I'm not talking the Toronto Maple Leafs, I'm talking if, you know, the 7-8, whatever, considered elite teams, that it's playoffs or nothing, struggled like the Blues did. The Blues made a coaching change. You know, the Blues called a goaltender up from the minors, unproven, in Jordan Binnington. So that's the only component a bit if things really went off the tracks, which they're nowhere close to for the Toronto Maple Leafs. You know, New Jersey could be a team like that or whatever, but that's the only caveat if they went on a ridiculous, like what happened with Randy Carlyle years ago when they put Peter Horachuk in, just when all of a sudden just things, you know, went that way. But otherwise, it's like, see me in game number 83. And if you, I have no idea how many playoff series, but it's at least one. Otherwise, you're not going to see Mike Babcock anymore, but that's down the road.
Yeah, it's a lot of money, although money is not really a factor and they'll have to do what they have to do. But again, a discouraging loss, a 5-2 loss in Montreal. Let's go now back to the Bell Center and join Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca. Luke, you were just in the room. You talked to the head coach in the post-game podium. Just the general mood around this hockey club right now is what?
Well, they're trying to not make excuses, but the slow start and the back-to-backs have become an issue now that they're now 0-for-4 this month, and they had a busy schedule of them in October. So I think they're glad that they won't see the next one till mid-November, but there are some disturbing trends, I think, here. But on the flip side, you know, credit Montreal. You know, Toronto clawed back in this game, tied it up 2-2, and Montreal, you know, ran away with it in the third. They were the faster team. They were the more determined team. And I think Toronto's also missing, you know, guys like Hyman and John Tavares. We're finding out that it's really hard for them to drive the puck, drive possession with two lines with Tavares on the sideline.
Now, Luke, and again, we're keeping perspective. I know you are as well, the big picture about a regular season. But we're just discussing, okay, the back-to-backs, I think they've been in the game forever. I don't think they just crept in. And I think all 31 teams face back-to-backs. And we're just saying, you know, with the five-day break they've added to the All-Star break, that's five off days that got just diminished there. So they've squeezed the schedule tighter. I just find they're tired, you know, like they have no Kawhi Leonard to sit out, like this load management thing. Psychologically, I'm tired about hearing about the back-to-backs. I mean, you know, can we just get on and play them and understand it's part of the game?
Well, it is, and every team has to go through it. But I do think it's a real thing that you're tired. You know, I went into the Sharks room last night in Toronto, and to a man, they were all saying that they kind of ran out of gas after, you know, playing the previous night in Montreal, and the Canadians themselves haven't won a back-to-back. I know it's kind of a boring storyline, and that's kind of the tack that Mike Babcock was taking. He was kind of like, okay, we talked about it the first time, but let's not talk about it anymore. He doesn't want the guys to use that as an excuse. I think there's an element of that, but it's also, you know, the better team won tonight. Let's be honest. Hutchinson held them in the first period. It could have been much uglier. I mean, the high danger chances alone were 7-0. The Habs had 19 shots in the first period. San Jose only had 18 all last game. Like, the hungrier team came out and kind of put a statement on this game. And then, you know, Toronto was able to claw back because they have that kind of skill that can tie things up with fewer chances. But the better team won tonight, regardless of who was tired and who wasn't.
You're not wrong with that. We're with Luke Fox of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. It's Nick Albert and Gord Stellick with you on Leafs Nation post game. What are with these terrible starts, Luke? 10 of 13 games, the Maple Leafs have now surrendered their first goal, and it's so ironic to me because that's all Mike Babcock loves to talk about is starting on time, no?
Yeah, I mean, this has been kind of one of his go-to sayings since he arrived here, quite honestly. It's been an issue in the past, but it seems to have really peaked this month. I mean, 10 out of 13 is the worst in the NHL. And a lot of those goals have come off the first or second shot of the game. And, you know, championship teams that are dominant teams don't do that, right? They come out and play the cliched full 60. And it seems like this team needs to be down a goal or two before it wakes up and really realizes what it needs to do. So it is a bit of a disturbing trend. On the flip side, we are only a few weeks into the season, and it's something that, from the outside, should be correctable because they have the skill and the talent and the knowledge to not start like that. I think maybe they're just getting a little bit comfortable knowing that they have the weaponry that can claw back into games. You know, if not the most, they're like second or third most even strength goals in the whole league. So they have this confidence that they know they can score their way back into games. But when things tighten up farther down the season, it's not the habit you want to have because teams will sharpen up defensively and it'll be more difficult for them to claw back.
You know, look, the other part is I think Mitch Marner's had as many ordinary games this season as he had all of last season, that the big guns who flashes of brilliance from all four of them at different times, but they really, none of them really have been on the kind of consistent ride they can have. And usually you're expecting a couple of them to be that way. And the big question for them, like everybody else, though, is what's it going to be like in the playoffs? That's the biggest concern.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is the journey to get there, but that's where they'll be judged. But we have some time to kill until then. So we might as well talk about some other things. But I think Marner's sort of, you know, inconsistency over the last stretch has, for me, really drilled home the point how important John Tavares is to this team. You know, I mean, I remember last year there was a lot of debate with that line being so magical and just piling up the points and also being leaned on defensively by Babcock as to who's really driving this line. Is it John Tavares or is it Mitch Marner? Well, I think this, you know, these past few games have shown how important Tavares is to not only this team, but that line and Mitch in particular. I mean, Babcock went and tried Marner with Matthews for a while, and it was okay, but, you know, they didn't dominate the way that, you know, maybe in their heads they thought they might, you know, especially when they're going up against the other team's top line. So I think this has kind of drilled home just the consistency and the necessity of John Tavares to this team if it wants to contend night in, night out.
Luke, you mentioned the captain. What's the latest you're hearing in terms of a potential return, not only for John Tavares, but also Zach Hyman and Travis Dermott on the back end?
Well, Hyman and Dermott look ready. Like, I could see that being next week. Mm-hmm. And I asked Mike Babcock, you know, if he's seen enough from the fringe players to make a decision, because once Hyman, especially because of his cap hit, there's going to be guys that get removed from this roster just to accommodate him. So that's going to be a really interesting storyline next week. And I would expect that their return is imminent because they've been practicing full contact with the team. They look great. Had a talk with John a couple days ago. He was practicing with the team. No, not with the team, by himself. And it was interesting. He was using lighter puck just to take it easy on his finger. Mm-hmm. But he was doing everything else normal. He was even stick handling, but with a special puck. And he said he needs to get another round of imaging done on the finger, but it feels good. He doesn't feel like there's any setbacks, but he won't know for sure until he gets those results.
Lastly, Luke, the biggest question, the Montreal press box, known for some of the best press food out there. How many hot dogs steam ate did you have tonight?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not bad.
I couldn't help myself because the way they toast the buns like that.
Yeah.
I'm not a big hot dog guy, but I make an exception for the one or two times I'm in Montreal.
Yeah, the one
I use duh as toothpicks, and then I just pile on. Yes, the Chanchon.
There you go. I'm a Montrealer. I know all about the poutine. I know about the hot dogs. Thanks so much for this, Luke. Enjoyed it.
Just one cool thing.
Yeah.
I just saw Carey Price having a long chat with Matt Sundin here in the bowels of the Bell Center. So
wow.
Very cool to see a couple Hall of Famers chatting it up.
Former Hab Matt Sundin, by the way. Thanks so much for this.
Okay, take care. Bye.
There you have it. Luke Fox of Sportsnet.ca. Still weird to see Sundin.
Well, the battle with the Nordiques against the Habs, he would have been in the fray that way. And they said he was in Toronto last night. He comes and just keeps a low profile that way. Like, isn't front and center with the alumni and that. But the Bear, the guy, or Dave Ferryman that runs all those things, used to be Carlton the Bear, but runs it all, said last year, I didn't realize it, but one of those things outside Scotiabank Arena, Matt Sundin was the surprise guest. And it was like a big rock show. The crowd loved it. So good to see him tonight.
And so the Leafs lose 5-2 at the Bell Center in Montreal. Many thanks to Luke Fox. We'll hit another break here. Other side, we'll get to Mike Babcock and some of the players. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Missed an episode of Tim and Sid? Listen to every episode and subscribe with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Park it. That's all the Leafs can do after a 5-2 loss at the Bell Center in Montreal. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you on Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers at the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick, where you can find us on Twitter. Coming up, we'll tee up the Tuesday night game. We'll have Leafs Nation postgame. It's the Maple Leafs. It's the Washington Capitals. But first, let's go back to the Bell Center and join the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Mike Babcock.
Tonight, they made your club pay for some mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think we were competitive enough in the first period. I thought we were really competitive and got the game going in the second. And then, we gave them three goals in the third. Any way you look at it, we made mistakes and they just shot it in the net. So we gifted them those three. It's disappointing because we had crawled our way back and kind of set the tone. Unfortunate on the penalty kill one there, obviously, at the faceoff at center. We thought we were in good position, going to have the puck and have a clear, and next thing you know, it's in our net. No, I think they're all different. The scariest thing about it, I think, if and I could be wrong because I don't remember totally, but I think, and three of them were right there, and going into the third period and don't get it done. And so, you know, the bottom line, I think the first one is a little different than the rest of these. Now, we played a lot of hockey and all that, but I don't think you can talk about back-to-backs at this point in the season. I think the first weekend is a different thing, but now you got to find ways to win these games.
Keeps you in the second period.
Well, he didn't keep us in the second period, but he kept us in the first period, like big time in the first period, and gave us a chance. And, you know, the other thing is, I mean, obviously he's getting the starts on back-to-backs. I thought we were set up to get him a win here tonight, and it's unfortunate for him because I thought his effort warranted better from us.
Do you think that might...
Well, not the first, obviously. You know, that's the problem with being a good player, is you draw the best matchup when you go in the opposition building and you got to be ready to go. And that's just the reality of the league, and that's how it is. And we weren't as a group good enough in the first period.
Mike, I don't want to put too much of an emphasis on the back-to-back, but what do you see as a coach? What is the biggest challenge? To losing the focus of your guy, or is it the physical aspect when the guys get tired? Is it...
Obviously, there's a reason, and that teams aren't as good on back-to-backs. Obviously, and that's because you play. But in saying all that, is they're on your schedule. What are you going to do about it? We just happen to be fortunate that we've had four in October.
From what you've seen, how difficult will the roster decisions be in Dermott and Minor?
Yeah, that's a great question. But I haven't had one second. We're just trying to win each night. We're not worried about. That obviously Tavares got to come back too, but to me, what it does is it gives you an opportunity to see all these guys, and these guys are getting great opportunity themselves. So your rehearsal has been longer than probably we expected, and we're going to have a way to make good decisions at the time when that happens.
2-game work week coming up. Pretty good for you to work on some things and rest up in a way.
Well, obviously we haven't practiced at all, and so that's a huge thing for us. If you don't practice, you don't skate. So we need to get out there and get practicing. But this will be a week that we get an opportunity and get ourselves back on track. We got a big game against Washington, and obviously it's important to get out of the month of October with a win.
All right, there you have Mike Babcock, the head coach of the Maple Leafs, after a 5-2 loss at the Bell Center in Montreal. what I heard there is he's going to bag skate this team over the next week.
Again, the old thing, I don't have ice, so they'll have time to practice. I assume they had a good practice on Thursday. I like that he seems to be trying to diminish the back-to-back excuse, although he said early on he thought it was a factor. So
I was going to say, pick a side here, Mike.
So he's the one that brought it up early on. Now he doesn't think so much. But anyway, big on Michael Hutchison, which is consistent. He's been big on Michael Hutchison. And I can't believe, I love the things, I have not even thought for a second about my roster. You're thinking all the time. You can't help it. You're shooting the breeze with whomever. That's what it's an ongoing process when you're working with a team or you're a fan of a team or whatever. So there are some decisions to be made. And I'm sure he, in his mind, already knows which way he would like to go.
Before we get to Austin Matthews, how much heat, in your opinion, is Mike Babcock facing right now, if any?
Well, see, people talk about the heat being ridiculous. And I will say the heat is negligible. And why I'm saying that is we understand it's a ridiculous statement by me because Kyle Dubas has the heir apparent in Sheldon Keefe. Last year, their press conferences at the end of the season, it appeared they were, very different philosophies, Babcock and Dubas this way. So I just think it's understood. I just think as each game goes on, barring them going 0-30, let's see what the playoffs are. And that's his report card. And he knows it, and everybody knows it. And this is his fifth year. So it's pretty good long run. And so I just think that's the way. So I think people talking about all the time, you can say, oh, yeah, that's a lot of heat. But, he's got hand. Everything's a Seinfeld episode. He's got the contract. He's got whatever. And he's had control of his own situation here.
I think that's very well put. Meantime, Austin Matthews, healthy, of course, after that hit from Brendan Dillon on Friday night, picks up an assist in this 5-2 loss. It's here now for number 34.
I think just little things. I thought the second period we got playing a lot better and created opportunities. Got to credit them, got to credit their goalie, made some big saves. They were pretty good defensively. And you can't give up two breakaways in a 2-on-1, with a game that close. And they obviously capitalized on their opportunities. So, you just got to find a way to not give those opportunities up. And, then it's not a 4-2 game. Maybe it's a 3-2 or a 2-2 game. And we're in the third period and, we're battling.
Any rhyme or reason for the start here? Back to back and you're down 2 on the road. And the difficult challenge of that left ahead for you guys here tonight?
There's really no reason for it. I think, I don't really have an answer for you. But, it's kind of been a bit of a something we haven't really done well in, especially in these back-to-backs, and we've had plenty of them. So we got to find a way to start better and start on time. But once we got playing that second period, got back in the game, and I don't think we necessarily let our foot off the gas, but I think we just gave them, a couple mental errors, a couple breakaways, a couple odd man rushes, and they capitalized on them. So we just can't do that.
What do you say to Hutch after, especially the second period, he made a good back-to-back save to keep you guys in it?
I mean, Hutch was dialed tonight. He made some big saves for us, especially early on. Kept it a close game. And so, that's on us. Like I said, you give odd man rushes, breakaways. It's one-on-one with the goalies, so we're not really getting them much help in that area. So, that's on us. It's not on him.
Do you think people on the outside underestimate just how difficult it is to play back-to-back games, how tough it is for you guys?
Well, it's the NHL. You gotta show up every game no matter what the schedule is. So even if you're not feeling your legs, you gotta find a way to be productive or find a way to help the team in another area. So there's really no excuse, regardless of the schedule, regardless of how many back-to-backs you've had. We still gotta go up and tie our skates on and play against the other guy across from us. So
You guys have lessons up next week. I think that'll be a good chance for you guys to catch your breath and regroup a bit.
Yeah, I think so. I think it'll be nice also to go on the road here in a couple weeks and something that we kind of haven't had so far this season and spend time with the guys and just try to mesh more and more. So I think we really like our group here, but I think this will be a good week to kind of regroup, get back settled in and try to put a couple wins together.
All right, there's Austin Matthews after a 5-2 loss for the Maple Leafs in Montreal. And certainly I think he's right that maybe it's not the worst thing in the world for this team to go on the road here in the month of November after all the home games in October. So staring them in the face Tuesday night is the red-hot Washington Capitals, 5-0-1 in the last six games, although I think the fortunate news is to have a couple days off between games, and coming west-east is always a factor in the NHL world. But they're 8-2-3 out of the gates. That should be a good one at Scotiabank Arena on Tuesday night.
Yeah, and it's one of those ones, the Maple Leafs. This is one of the games they bleeped away against the Washington Capitals.
Yep.
So, you know, one of the elite teams, so you want to come up big. Just, can you believe this back-to-back crap that
It's a big conversation.
But the reporter asked the question already, do we, the regular people, understand how exhausting it is? Cut the crap. Austin gave a real good answer there, actually. So anyway,
11.5 mil.
That's what I like about playoffs. There's no talk about back-to-back. Everyone plays the same games. You talk anyway. So the Washington Capitals in town, and then in Philadelphia on Saturday, and Philadelphia won again tonight. So I mean, there's team. You know, Columbus won. There's teams that are in the East that are very quietly, you know, nipping at the Leafs' heels or elsewhere on their anatomy. So there's few games, but you hope you get a couple of W's, very winnable games, like all games are for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Tuukka Rask posting a shutout in the rematch of last year's Stanley Cup. The Bruins continue to just truck right along, 3-0 over the St. Louis Blues. And just quickly hear your thoughts on the Heritage Classic at Mosaic Stadium.
Like it. I like that they did it a little bit earlier, too.
Yeah.
We don't need a repeat of that Montreal-Edmonton game all those years ago, you know, where it was so cold. So, you know, good flavor, great hockey fans in Saskatchewan. They almost had the St. Louis Blues in 1983, so they get Winnipeg and Calgary tonight.
In general, a quiet week upcoming in the National Hockey League, just 43 games. I like the fact they keep it kind of dark on Halloween, just two games in the NHL. The Maple Leafs, a two-game schedule, Tuesday night, home to the Washington Capitals on Saturday. Wells Fargo, the home of Gritty, to take on the Philadelphia Flyers. Job well done, Gord. We'll talk on Tuesday night, Leafs Nation postgame.
Sounds good. Look forward to the Capitals Tuesday, Philadelphia Saturday.
There you have it. Gord Stellick, I'm Nick Alberga. Thanks to Shoa Ali, Andrew Holland, J.R. Manitad, and brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You've been listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.